This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
So, welcome to Dilemmas with Jess Ellis, and I've got a special guest today. We have got Leanne Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking then, is it a double bar? It's Leanne Campbell.
It's Campbell. My name's Campbell, Leanne Campbell. And then I got married.
Yeah.
And became...
At the Alicia.
Yes.
Where I stayed for 6 weeks when I got rehomed.
That's right. Yes. And I became Mrs. Power, which always just seemed a bit weird. I don't know if anyone else has ever found it strange taking someone else's name.
I would find it strange. I'm literally, I'm the only Ellis left. There's no boys.
Yes.
So I always do say to Michael, I'd feel a bit weird about taking. And also, in our profession,
people know
you as...
Leanne Campbell, then it was hard to change it. And again, I felt a little bit of guilt with my dad. I was like, this is my dad's name.
I know.
I don't want
to drop it. It's also a bit... It's a little bit archaic now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it's a bit like...
It is.
Like, a lot of my friends are double-barreling. Mm-hmm. So is that what you've done?
I became Leanne Campbell Power.
Yeah.
But only, like, on documents. And then I was like, no, do you know what? I'm going to bite the bullet. I've got two kids now. They're both Power. I'm going to change to Power on passports, me bank details.
But professionally Campbell.
But yeah, just keep it as
because
Campbell.
Because as I said it then, I had a dilemma of my own and I thought, fucking hell, I've known Leanne now.
Yeah.
For a good couple of years.
That's right, yeah.
So... For all of our listeners, do you want to tell us a bit about yourself and what you do?
Right, okay. So I started off on radio after doing TV and theatre for a long time.
Yeah.
Never doing anything as glamorous as Hollyoaks like yourself.
Oh, I mean, look at me. I'm in my pyjamas. I've got no bra on. Ben's just had to move my bra from the table, bless him, with his fingertips.
Well, I was like a little theatre kid by accident. I was really quiet and really shy. And my mum put me through. I know. You wouldn't believe. My mum put me through drama school just because my best mate went. So it was like a way of getting me out of the house. And
like a babysitting service?
Almost, yeah. It was like, go and learn how to like speak up in public.
Well, yeah, it's a confidence build. I've taught drama to kids and a lot of them. It is a confidence building thing.
That's what it was for me, Jess. So I went along, I did classes and stuff. And then I ended up playing Annie, the role of Annie at the Liverpool Playhouse.
Oh, yeah.
For like 4 months with a West End cast that came into Liverpool. And then from there, I just went touring with theatre companies. But it all, as much as it was a job and I was working professionally as a little tiny person, which is a lot to take on board, my family is so grounded. And they're just so Scouse and so Liverpool that it was just not like a big deal. It almost got in the way of like going to family parties and stuff. So no one ever really acknowledged it. And then it led into a profession as a grown up. And I was lucky enough to carry on doing theatre and TV and stuff. And then I was asked to sort of trial to do a radio show.
Oh, right. Yeah.
In Liverpool. And my first instinct was no. So I'm doing a show. Picture the scene. I'm at the Royal Court in Liverpool. And I come out after a performance and I'm early 20s. And a guy who's very well known in the radio industry called Clive Dickens. I had no clue who this fellow was.
Yeah.
So I walk out the stage door. I didn't have a car at the time. My dad was waiting in the bus stops for me to take me home. And Clive Dickens goes to me, right, Leanne, I'd like to put you in and make you a radio star in Liverpool. So I was like, no, thanks, but thanks very much.
And I love that. But I'm
honestly,
like that. It's like, do you know what I wish that sometimes, you know, with jobs that you had that like naivety sometimes because you just are yourself. But when you know that someone's bit, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, he was like, can I take you to dinner? And I can see my dad looking through his car window with a ciggy, you know, smoking a ciggy out the window going, who's this, Mime? And who's this? And I thought, my dad's going to come over, fight this weirdo who I don't know, who's just standing at the stage door. So I just legged it as quick as I could. Then someone contacted me through someone and someone else. And they said, he's a really big deal. He's trying to change radio in Liverpool. He's shocked there isn't a Liverpool girl representing the Liverpool ladies on radio.
Yeah.
And he thinks you could be the girl to do it. Seems this guy was the one who signed up like Chris Evans and stuff.
Oh, really?
That's how big a deal he was.
Oh, and you're like, no.
I'm like,
no,
oh,
thanks.
No, I couldn't do radio. I'll be dead bored. So he took me out for dinner and he's talking me through radio. I said, I couldn't really talk without a script. I just do theatre. I wouldn't know what to do. So we left it at that. Then I got a phone call. Come and cover this girl who's gone off on a holiday. You'd be doing us a big favour. And it was at Juice FM in Liverpool, which was the young hip station at the time.
Yeah.
Which I listened to every day. So my nerves were gone. I was like, how do I go on that radio station? Because I love that radio station. So I went in, they sat me in front of a computer. I went to theatre school, never logged on to anything in my life.
Yeah, I'm like that now.
Jess, totally blagged it. Got in there. And I think this goes for any job. Sometimes, you know, you can go for a job and you've got the credentials on paper or you've lied your way into a job. And the moment of truth comes and I stood there behind a microphone to do traffic and travel in Liverpool with this computer that I couldn't switch on.
Yeah.
So just nerves kicked in and I went, right, full scout started going, it's chocking on Scotty, which is Scotland Road if you live in Liverpool, yeah. And Upper Parley, Upper Parliament Street, Upper Parley's rammed, just started like coming out with all this nonsense.
Being a big old scouser.
Came out and the DJ at the time said to me, he was actually a really good friend now, he came out to me and went, I think that's your first and last ever gig on radio. I went, yeah, probably.
That's so hard.
I know. Put me coat on, then he ran out again, got the boss, him and the boss come in, they went, can you come and look at the texts? And it was just pages and pages of people going, who's Scouse? And I became Scouse. Who's little Scouse? We want to know what Scouse is like. Show us a picture of Scouse. And then Scouse sort of became the breakfast show. And Leanne became what everyone woke up to. And that was like, what, must be nearly 20 years ago.
Shit,
like
so you, have you been doing a breakfast show for 20 years?
Yeah, just maybe 18 years.
Have you never slept then?
No. No,
that
not
is
at all.
Long, Leanne, for, to get up at that time for that many years.
Yeah.
Are you just used to it now, though?
No, I hate it.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Do you go back to sleep?
No. Well, I did before I had the kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then now I've got to like just try and cram everything in before the school run.
Like you do the breakfast show, mm-hmm. you do shows at the night time, you do pantos. I've seen you at events.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you're like, do you know what? I've got to do the breakfast show and I just stay in at night.
Yeah, I know. I think you've got to sort of limit what you do, and what I do is stuff that I'm getting paid to do. So
yeah,
I'll
do
plays and I'll do pantos and I'll do filming and whatever else. When it comes to like, come to the opening of this bar or whatever, no disrespect to anyone or anything, but that's my time with the kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So as long as you've got that clear divide of,
yeah,
this is work, Leanne, and anything else, any spare time I've got, it's with me mates in yeah. our local pub, in me front room, or with me family.
Well, we met like, I think we'd like seen each other at events and stuff around Liverpool.
Yes,
but we met because we've got mutual friends.
Well, we met really wind up, didn't we, in an airport?
Well, yeah. Oh, but no, because we went on the hen do together.
Of course,
so we
yes.
went to Croatia together.
Yes.
And we went to hen do. We went on the...
How did I end up with you in an airport?
Because...
Just me and you? You flew out separately with me, that's right.
Yeah, because...
To the wedding.
To the wedding. I'd...
Mm-hmm.
But I think at the time I booked the flight, I was still... Didn't know that I was going to leave Hollyoaks or whatever. So I think I had to book a certain... That was the only days I could get off at that time.
That's
or whatever.
That's right. And that was a really important time for you. And I
yeah.
think for two women in an industry that's very similar, we bonded over what was going on
oh
at that
God,
time with
absolutely.
You.
Oh my God, absolutely. I was just like... Oh my God, I'm leaving. Because I'd literally yeah. just left, actually. Mm-hmm. I think I left on like the Wednesday
yeah.
and flew on the Friday. And I was like, oh, what do I do? And you were obviously giving me loads of advice about when you left certain jobs.
Exactly.
And things like that.
It seems like the end of the world, whatever you're
oh,
doing.
God,
whether
yeah.
it's a relationship or it's a job or whatever, it can feel quite similar.
Yeah.
You put all these years into
my
something.
My God, yeah. 5 years is like being the whole of secondary school.
Yeah.
And that's a big chunk of time.
It's not your choice and the rug's almost pulled and you've yeah. got to make a decision. It's like heartbreak. And I think if you've got good mates around you and whatever decisions you make, you don't make out of anger or out of sadness
yeah.
or anything. You make clear decisions that are good for you, then you're always going to be all right. And you're surrounded
oh, God,
by
yeah.
the most amazing gang of girls we love. Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah.
Like, we had the best time.
That couldn't have come at a better time, the holiday,
oh,
I don't think.
It was the best. And the hen do was just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that and now there's a baby. And
I know.
Like, it's literally like a fairy tale.
It is, yeah.
Also, let's talk about podcasts.
Shall we?
You have your very own podcast. I was on it the other week.
Yeah, so it's called Ladies of Liverpool.
Yeah.
And what it is a platform for me to help raise awareness to everything else that's going on in Liverpool yeah. that I can't put on the radio.
Okay.
I work for a commercial station, so obviously people buy advertising. And more often than not, I get people message me, ladies doing amazing things, whether it's, you know, raising money for charity or whether they've just survived something really traumatic.
Yeah.
And I think other women need to hear about it. I can't put them on the radio station, so I created Ladies of Liverpool for those ladies to tell their stories.
Amazing.
It's quite good.
So you
it.
Can find that on all of your podcasts, wherever mm-hmm. you listen to podcasts.
That's right. Spotify, iTunes.
What are your socials?
Okay, you can find Leanne Campbell Power on Instagram.
Yeah.
You can find Radio City Leanne on Twitter. And if you just type Ladies of Liverpool in, it's on everything.
Oh, perfect. Mm-hmm. So... I don't know if you've listened to this podcast before, but we do play a game at the beginning.
Okay.
And this game is called Double Dares. I mean, what's your gag reflex like?
Dreadful. Dreadful.
Oh, Jay.
Oh, no.
So basically, this is called Double Dares.
Yeah.
So these are jelly beans, and they are either nice or horrible.
Oh, my kids do this to me?
Yes. So basically, here are the rules. Mm-hmm. The only one that you can't have is a blue one, because someone decided that that would be like something, or toothpaste, which toothpaste is not horrible, it's just minty.
Yes.
But the other ones are like cola or cat food, strawberry or fresh blood, lemon or rotten milk, I think. Now, people think that I'm exaggerating. Ben thought I was exaggerating until he did this game once himself.
Yes.
And was nearly sick in the sink.
Oh, Ben, do we need a bucket for this? Do I need a bucket?
It's okay, we can use heavy editing.
Okay. So basically, the idea is that we both pick one. Yeah. After three, we chew them. Mm-hmm. And if it's horrible, there was a new rule brought in by Nadine, who was one of our guests in the first series, that you have to swallow it. I mean, it's bad. Mm-hmm. It's pretty bad. But yeah, if you want to pick one that's not a blue one.
Okay, so let me give them a spin. You don't mind me fingering your beans.
There's been a lot of people fingering those beans, let me tell you.
Oh, wait. Okay, I'm going, this looks pleasant.
Oh,
stop. No.
Right, so yours is cola or cat food, let me see. Yeah, and mine is Tutti Frutti or rotten milk.
And if it's horrible, I've got to swallow
it. You've got to swallow it, yeah.
Okay, and so, if it's nice, what do I do? Just enjoy?
Yeah, just enjoy it.
Okay.
So, 1, 2, 3. Nice.
Mine's nice.
Right, so we've got to go again.
Oh, no.
I thought I got off with it then.
I love that when people go,
oh, they look at me and they go, nice. And I'm like, okay, well, we have to go again.
Okay.
Right. I'm getting a red, which is strawberry or fresh blood.
Okay, I'm going to go a yellow, which is,
I think that's lemon or like rotten curd or something. I'm not sure.
Okay, let's do this.
One, two, three.
I've got a nice one.
I've got a nice one. Oh, it's my lucky dough.
Right. I'll tell you what we'll do. At the end of this podcast, we'll do it one more time.
Okay.
And if we both get nice ones, we've won.
Do you believe in like good things happen to good people? I think that's a prime example.
Do you reckon?
We're putting good into the universe.
Is that like the secret?
It's coming back.
Are we ready for our dilemmas?
I think I am, yeah.
So basically, these are dilemmas that people send to our socials and our inbox.
Yeah.
So if anyone out there's listening and you want to send in your dilemma, you know where to go, @dilemmasjess on Instagram and Twitter.
So this is like serious advice. I've got to get into like Linda Campbell mode. That's me mum.
But
she's like, everyone goes to Linda Campbell for advice.
Really? We need to get Linda Campbell on then.
Honestly, my hairdressers, everyone, they all have my mum's number. She's amazing.
Oh my God, that is brilliant. She really is. Okay, we're starting off with a juicy, because I always say this, because this is an anonymous female, London.
Right, okay.
So I always think if you're anonymous,
yeah, you've got something to hide, it's going to be juicy.
Yeah. Because also, I mean, I do like this and helping people, but I'm just a nosy bitch. Hi, Jess. I've been with my girlfriend for nearly 7 years. Before we were in a relationship, she had a thing with a girl who lived abroad. She has seen her once since we've been together when she visited England, which I felt uncomfortable with at the time. However, she's currently here visiting again for a few weeks, and my girlfriend has already seen her a couple of times. She said that she wants to see her on the last day again before she leaves. I don't want to say I don't want her to do it and come across as the crazy girlfriend, but this person wasn't just a friend to her, and she has said things which will make me think that the feelings might still be there. Am I being irrational, or should I say I don't want her to see this girl again?
The age-old question, can you be mates with your ex?
I know. I don't think you can.
Mm.
I mean, I think you can if you're both happy and settled.
Yeah.
I think you can. I think it's very hard when the other person's still single. But I, like, me and my friends were talking about this the other day, saying that even if you have no feelings for an ex, like say someone that you went out with when you were like 16 for a couple of years.
Right, yeah.
And then, I don't know, you see on social media that they're married, or there's still that little ping.
Mm-hmm.
Something just goes up in you and goes, oh, but... And then you're like, oh no, that's so stupid. That was fucking years
ago. And
you're
flattered that they once felt something for you.
Yeah.
See, I don't have this problem because I met my husband when I was really young. So I've only had a couple of boyfriends before him, and it was when we were young. And all three of those are gay now.
Oh.
I know. So it was like, obviously we were growing up through theatre school and stuff. So I dated
the, so the three boys you dated are both are all gay.
I think we sort of knew at the time as well, but I felt safe. They didn't want to do anything with me, like undressed.
Yeah,
they just looked really nice. We took pride in our appearance, and we'd just go out the pictures and stuff. So it worked for both of
it's
us.
It's like a showman.
They didn't want to get down and dirty with me. I didn't want to get down and dirty with them. But I was ticking the box of having a boyfriend, and they were ticking the box of having a girlfriend.
Perfect.
At the time. But knowing some of my friends and some of their exes, you're right. It all depends on how they split. If you split and it's dwindled out, because lots of relationships end with you just being friends.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, I think you can pick that friendship up at any time. I know as the other half, the new person coming into a relationship, that's going to be daunting to watch. But I would like to think that I'd be all right with that if my other half wanted to be friends with the ex.
I just think those little, you know, like, there's always kind of little private jokes or little things like, not private jokes, but like, oh, they'll start talking about a conversation about like, oh, do you remember when we went to that place? And they're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, before like, you.
I mean, so what she's saying,
And she's going back away again, this girl, so it's not going to have a massive impact unless this strikes up a let's start DMing each other again and all that kind of stuff.
I also think you. Oh, Bob's kicking off.
What's happening?
I think
Bob got something out of my bag?
No, I think Rita's got the stick that I give her before.
Oh, she's fine.
Yeah. I think that, like, I don't know if it was with Michael. If you've got trust in your relationship to know that they're just going to go and say hello to them, even if that other girl has got feelings, doesn't mean that your girlfriend's going to have feelings.
True. Like,
she could go and this other girl could say something inappropriate and all power to your girlfriend. She should be like, oh, no, you know, I am in a relationship now. I just wanted to see you to say hello.
Yeah. And I think if you're the person who stops it, does that then cause issues within your relationship? Yeah. That didn't really need to happen.
Also think it's probably different as a lesbian.
Yeah.
Because girls are friendlier. I think this is...
That we're more likely to stay friends.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a bit... I know some people might be like, oh, no, you're being stereotypical, but I guess that... I'm just thinking about my lesbian friends. They're still friends. Because girls have got a different relationship than
different
boys, haven't they?
Like, yeah.
So is it different if Michael was to go and see a girl?
Speaking of your Michael then, do you find this in your relationship? Because it's hard for your fella, for my fella, when we do the jobs that we do, to go off and do our thing.
Yeah.
And your Michael reminds me so much of my Jay. We're quite happy for you to go and be the butterfly, do your thing, and they don't worry at all. And I laugh sometimes because I think, he knows I'm not going to get another fella. You know, he's like, she hasn't got a flirt in her. There's no chance. But part of me loves him more for letting me, not obviously letting you go and do your thing, because you would expect that in a relationship. But don't you think your love gets a little bit deeper and a little bit more special when someone shows that trust?
Oh my God. We always joke about it. Like, I joke about it loads with Michael. I'm like, people say things like, oh, would you think? And I'm like, I would pay to watch Michael chat up a girl.
Oh, wouldn't it be brilliant?
I would fucking sit there and pay good money to watch him chat up a girl, because he can't even chat to the postman.
No, like, exactly. Stick Michael and my Jay in a lap dancing bar with naked women.
I would love it.
And they'd end up sitting talking about football to each other.
Yeah, like, honestly. you're right. Like, I do love that. Like, I don't think there's really ever been in our relationship, I'll go out and do my... The thing I'd worry about with Michael going out and without me is that he'd wake up in a ditch somewhere.
Exactly.
It wouldn't be that he would be getting off with another girl.
I think in this situation, my advice with this dilemma would be, this is your opportunity to really show what your relationship is.
Yes.
This is for you now to stand there and go, I trust you. I don't know this other person. They could be the worst thing that's ever happening to us. But right now, I can only trust you and go with it. And if it all goes wrong, it's not on you. It's on them. Well, and you've learned.
If it all goes wrong, you're not with the right person anyway.
Precisely.
Hi, we're Sound Rebel, and we produce this podcast.
We make loads of podcasts, and we want to make yours. Email hello@soundrebel.co.uk to find out more.
You forgot the bit about the first free episode.
Oh, and tell us you heard this ad, and we'll produce your first episode for free.
Great. Email hello@soundrebel.co.uk now, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can.
Right, back to the episode.
The next dilemma is... Busy B, 26, Southport.
Oh, Southport?
I love a bit of Southport.
Me too.
I love a seaside town that looks a little bit like something bad's gone on there.
Yeah, it's got roots on it. Yeah. Southport. I went to college in Southport, Southport College, for a little while, and we had a ball. All the Scousers used to jump a train early in the morning, fresh from going out to town the night before, so we'd all still be drunk on a train going to college. And the memories I've got of Southport, brilliant place, brilliant people who live there.
Yeah, I love it.
I had a ball.
We filmed a lot of the court stuff in Southport. Yeah. I remember being hungover eating KFC there.
Maybe it's a place to go when you're hungover.
Do you reckon? So this is, hi Jess, I'm a career-driven woman who's starting to struggle a bit with balancing life. I've got a great job which requires long hours, a boyfriend who I want to do lovely things with, and a family who needs me to be there and help them. In brackets, my dad isn't very well. I want to do everything and be there for everyone, but how do you preserve your own self-energy and mental health when life is so busy around you?
I feel like this is me.
Oh my God, Leanne, this is a good question. Yeah, for you, isn't it?
It feels like it's written by me. I'm definitely in a place to advise on this one. Say no. Say no.
Learn to say no.
To so much stuff. Yeah. And don't feel guilty for saying no. Mm. That's sort of what we were talking about before, about prioritising.
Isn't it that picture or meme that someone's put up of that graffiti that says, no one cares if you don't go to the party.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. I'm terrible at saying no.
It's so hard, isn't it? I know. And it's taken me a long time to get used to saying no, because you're not comfortable doing it. You've spent so long going, yes, I'll turn up, and yes, I'll make sure that works for you, and I'll make sure everyone else is all right. This girl is me.
Yeah.
But it's taken up until, I'd say, the last 12 months where I've really had to go, okay, who am I doing this for?
Yeah.
If it's not bettering me or helping my family out, it's got to go.
Yeah.
And that could be a certain friend or a friend of a friend, that sort of, we've all got one of those, haven't we, that get into your circle.
Yeah.
And it alters the dynamics and it changes the decisions you make. You've got to stand there and just be clear of what you're actually trying to achieve.
Yeah.
And if this girl, like myself, is all about family, she's going to have to say no a lot more than she is to other things.
And not that it's, excuse is not the right word, but if your dad's not well, then fucking hell, like,
that's the biggest thing.
Like, I think, it's really hard to say no.
It's hard with your job as well, Jess, isn't it? And I think, speaking as women, you know, especially for women, I don't know about you, but sometimes you feel like you've got to be going above and beyond. If you work in a male-dominated industry, like radio or TV, you do feel like you can't say no, because they're going to go, oh, she's got to go to the kids, or oh, she's got to go visit her dad, or oh, you know, she's being a woman about it, yeah.
Or there's just someone ready there to step into your shoes.
Exactly. And I think as women, it's hard for us to make our mark whilst saying no.
Yeah.
But you've got to look around yourself. There are plenty of men in industry saying no.
Yeah.
So don't worry about that.
I think also it's like anything in life. It's like food, it's like diet. Like, I think you just have to go, everything in moderation.
Yeah.
Because, I think it's really good to have time for yourself, to go out with your mates and get on the piss and go for a meal or whatever. Have time for your partner, have time for your family. It's just trying to get that right balance. And I think, maybe in situations like if your dad's not well, maybe then, you know, that takes priority for now. Then your family's taking priority, and, you know, your boyfriend might suffer a little bit, or your work might suffer a little bit.
Don't feel guilty.
No,
that guilt creeps in, doesn't it?
Especially for women, I think.
Yeah, I think this girl, Jess, I think she needs to hear it from us. We don't know you, and we thank you for your message, but you need to hear from us. You can't do everything.
Yeah.
You need to look after yourself.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to say it.
Yeah.
But hear us right now. You need to take time out for you. It won't be easy, but take that time, because you can't pour from an empty cup.
No, exactly.
There you go.
This is Angela, 47, from Telford.
Oh, nice one, Ange.
I used to do drama exams in Telford. Oh, no, was that Telford? No, my best friend's wife-to-be.
Yeah.
It's from Telford.
Where is Telford?
It's just outside of Birmingham. Me and Kieran Richardson did the funniest PA in a gay club there.
Yeah.
Mate, I can't even describe it.
Is the song 24 Hours from Telford? Or is that a different song? 24 Hours from Telford. Or is that a totally different
That must be somewhere different. I've been to Telford and no one could have wrote a song about it. Sorry, Angela, 47, from Telford. Oh, how rude of me. Hi, Jess. I'm a mum, and my daughter is just getting to that age where she's starting to go out into town on nights out.
I'd be really worried if she was in Telford. I'm worried because I remember what I was like back in those days, and I don't want her to leave the house, dress nicely, only to put on a miniskirt and then get to a friend's house and spend the evening snugging the face off men in nightclubs. What can I say to her to get the message home that she should respect herself and not get too carried away without sounding like a moaning mum? I also don't want to be a hypocrite.
This is something you can't just pull out the bag last minute.
No.
This is something that you've got to start, I think, with little ones when they're really young.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, my mum was a proper witch with us. My mum was like, she knew everything we were doing from when we got to teenage years. You'd have a ciggy and then you'd spray yourself with perfume and you'd walk around the block to get the fresh air on you, and then you'd walk in the house and she'd be in the kitchen and she'd shout from the kitchen, "Have you been smoking?"
Oh my God.
Like had this
I sprayed deodorant in my mouth on.
You'd do anything. You would do anything to make sure they don't find out.
I know.
But you've got to be on them, haven't you, from a young age. Because I think when you get to the age when you're going out, you've already got your character, haven't you? Ready to go.
I just think to myself, like, my mum was really good with me. Like, I'm an only child, and she tried, like, I'm a miracle baby. Oh. She tried, like, 9 years for me. So actually, she could have been quite hardcore, but she taught me my morals. She taught me what was right and wrong.
And that's when you're young, isn't it? That's before you're going out.
And then she let me go out, and also she kind of let me make my own mistakes. I mean, I think we're obviously living in a bit of a different world with social media.
That's true.
And, you know, there's, you know, a lot of...
Oh, it's horrible. I'd hate to be, like, 17, 18. Now.
Yeah. We just used to pass notes to each other. I can't imagine that being in the atmosphere. Oh, do you know what I mean?
Horrendous.
If someone found your note that you'd written that you loved Gareth, like, it was devastating.
The first time you had a drink, and you remember how much of a disgrace you were when you first started going out.
I mean, I'm 32 and I'm still there.
But no one knows that. We're now like, we're dead cool. We drink one glass of Chardonnay and go home. No, really. Back in the day, if someone could take a picture of you,
oh God,
put it on Instagram, oh, you'd be mortified.
I'm so surprised there's not pictures of me out there pissing on the street.
Yeah,
because that is my thing. Know. Yeah, there probably is. But after this, they'll probably get fucking tweeted loads. But no, I think, do you know what? That, I don't want to say, I'm not a mum, so obviously I'll probably feel different towards this, but I just feel like going out and snogging boys,
the best days.
Like,
they are,
my God, we love, like, we all have this joke as we're older. Mm-hmm. My group of friends from back home, if we're like in a pub back where I'm from, and like say someone walks in that you snogged when you were in year 11 or when you were 16 on a night out, we always go like, mate, your ex is in.
And it was just a one little kiss.
Yeah, it's just one snog, like, or like you both snogged other. I thought that was so funny.
All my first kisses, and like when I first started going out, which was, I was much younger than I should have been when we started going to town. We don't even say, do we?
No.
We don't even say how young, but of course, we were young and we were out and about, and we were way too young to be out, but of course, lads were older, and you're having a kiss and whatever else with these boys, and you knew the limits, because, not because your mum told you, but I think more so because of the people you surrounded yourself with. As a mum, I would say that is my fear. My fear is not what my kids as little people decide to do. It's what people they surround themselves with. Because all my bad decisions, and there weren't many of them, but all of my bad decisions were made simply because my mates told me to do it. It'd be a great idea.
Oh, God, yeah. Egged you on. But the thing is, I almost feel like maybe now we're getting to that generation, and especially when your kids are probably at the age of going out, that I think we might be at the point where, you know, there's a lot of, you know, the Me Too movements out there.
Yeah.
A lot of people... Children are talking about consent. Like someone was telling me the other day that someone had, their little kid was like, if someone says they don't want a piece of toast, they don't. That means no, right?
That's right, yeah.
So I think that's actually really good, and it makes me feel like maybe it'll be a safer environment, because I understand. I think that's what the underlying question is here.
Yes, yeah.
You know, I don't want anything bad to happen. I mean, bad things have happened for years. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that I think we're going to be growing up with a lot of young men that know exactly, and young
you'd
women.
You'd like to think so, Jess, wouldn't you?
I mean, obviously,
there's always
going to be wrong-uns, whatever you do.
But it's just not putting yourself in those situations. So rather than say to her, don't go out and don't wear that and don't start necking boys and doing whatever else, maybe make her think about the situation she might end up in, getting in cars with lads.
Yeah, or
things like that.
I always used to think as well, and I still do this as an adult now, if someone tells me not to do something, I'll fucking do it 10 times more. So why don't you open up a conversation? I mean, you might have this relationship, but why don't you go like, any nice lads out last night?
Yeah.
Don't make it a taboo.
No, and how comfortable are you with saying no?
Yeah.
Maybe have that conversation with her. Yeah. You know, if this happens, would you be comfortable saying no?
Yeah.
Would you be fearful of saying no in front of your mates? Do you think they would judge
also, if it's a kind of outfit choice or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, show a pic, would you be care? Do you want people to see your knickers or do you want this or whatever? You know, I think fashion is hard, isn't it? Because it's often so far away from the mum.
Yes.
So you go, oh, well.
But fashion now, you see some of the stuff, don't you? You think, oh, if I had the courage to wear some of this stuff or the body to wear some of this stuff.
Oh, my God.
These girls, they look amazing, yet the show and everything, they look fabulous, they feel fabulous. And if they're confident enough to go, no, lad, not tonight, out my face, then what's the harm in wearing whatever they want to wear?
Exactly. I think that. And I think you're right. Like, what's her friendship group like? Are they a solid group of girls? Are they quite sensible? I often feel sorry sometimes for when people have got boys, because actually most of the time girls have got good friendship groups and they won't leave them. If someone's pissed in a toilet, they won't. If you're a lad, sometimes they'll just leave you.
Well, do you know what? I always thought this with girls. There was me and my sister for years, and we looked after each other. We're thick as thieves. There's 5 years between us. She was like a second mum to me. She wouldn't let the wind blow on me. And I'm a firm believer in girlfriends, and we're all a solid unit. And I always thought that about boys. I've got a 9-year-old. He's had the same group of friends since he was in preschool, and they are thick as thieves.
Really?
I would say just as much as my little girl who's 6 and her mates. They are so loyal to each other and so protective
of
each other.
Maybe that's what we were just saying then, that it's a different generation of boys then.
Yes.
Because people are talking about the feelings more, boys are more likely
times
to go.
Times are changing,
They're not going to leave them. Yeah, so I think with this one, like, don't go full on mum. You're not wearing that. You're not snogging boys. You're not doing that.
She'll do it tenfold.
She'll do it tenfold. She'll also turn around to you and go, ooh, what were you doing at my age?
Yep.
Get on a level with her.
Mm-hmm.
Tell her the dangers that you're worried about.
Yeah.
And that's all you can do.
You're not judging her. You just want her to be safe.
Do you know what? You just, you can't worry yourself. If you've taught her the morals and everything we were talking about as a stable foundation and she knows what's right and wrong, that's all you can do.
My kids will be playing this back to me when they're 18. When I'm hiding in a booth in a nightclub behind them in fancy dress trying to keep an eye on them.
They'll be like, Mum, you said that we could just go out and just be cool about it.
Not a chance.
Leanne, thank you so much for being a guest.
My pleasure. I can't believe how quickly that's just gone.
I know, it flies, doesn't it? It flies when you've been a nosy bitch.
I'm a bit worried. I don't even know what I said. We got really into that, didn't we?
I do that. I go, what did I actually say? This could change someone's life. What did I actually say? No, obviously, every advice or bits that we give, people can take or leave it or do
exactly
what they want with it.
Yes.
So to end this episode, we're going to have to do this game again.
Oh, I don't want it.
But listen, if we get it, we've won.
Okay, so we need another good taste in jelly bean.
Yeah, right, a good one.
What have you gone for?
Oh, God, that looks awful. This is strawberry or fresh blood.
Okay, let me find one I haven't done. I've done yellow.
Green is watermelon or snot. Okay. Oh, my God, right, that is it. Okay.
I've gone green.
I feel like mine's really bad because it's squashed, but maybe it's not.
Green. What does snot taste like?
Don't tell me you never
I've
tasted
never
it.
Eaten my own snot.
And I just say, no it way. Definitely doesn't taste like bogies. It tastes worse.
Okay, it doesn't smell of anything.
Okay, go.
Oh!
Is it bad? I think mine's bad as well.
I can't swallow it. It tastes like fart. Sorry, it's on your table.
God. I love that. Was that nice?
Horrific. I'm going now. Put my coat on. I'm never coming back.
Well, thank you so much for being a guest on Dilemmas with Jess Ellis.
Pleasure. Thank you, my love.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Give Me Some Good News with Nathan Caton.
Hello and welcome to Give Me Some Good News, the podcast that brings a bit of positivity and optimism to your life while the mainstream media is full of doom and gloom.
He's stand-up comedian Nathan Caton and I'm radio presenter Rich Wolfenden, and every week we ask a comedian to come on the podcast and give us some good news, whether it's something that they've spotted that's made them smile or a bit of good news from their own lives.
So far we've had some amazing comedians on the podcast like Jason Manford, Russell Kane, Joe Caulfield, Dane Baptiste, Joe Lycett, Richard Herring, Jade Adams and Ed Gamble. And we've got loads more great guests lined up, which in itself is good news because it looks like we might be in this mess for a while longer yet.
So if you've had enough of bad news every time you turn on the TV, then give our podcast a go. We release a brand new episode every Monday morning.
Search for Give Me Some Good News now, hit subscribe and forget about the doom and gloom for 20 minutes. And don't forget, although it might not always feel like it, there's still some good news out there.
Give Me Some Good News with Nathan Caton. Listen now on your chosen podcast app.